This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Lori Fast takes your pet behavior questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Pet Talk. You're listening to Lori Fast, and of course that means it's the behavior edition of the show. And I have a guest with me who I've had on before, Liz Bennett, who does rescue and wildlife rehabilitation, Bandits Place.
Yes.
Rescue and wildlife rehabilitation.
Yep.
So we're going to run some things by her. We have a number of topics we're going to talk about, but I'm going to really annoy Liz right now because I asked her how she weighs in on all the pumpkin spice stuff for humans, and you said...
Ew, it is not fall. It is not. It is still summer. No. No.
But what about if it was fall? Then would you be okay with it?
No. I'm not drinking pumpkin juice. That's just it's like they're so
wrong. You don't like the spices and
no,
the tea?
No, it's so gross.
Okay.
That's gross.
Well, so we know what Liz thinks about this, but we now are going to find out what Liz thinks about the pet stuff, the pumpkin spice
pet
stuff.
Oh, see, no. Okay, pumpkin spice pet stuff. No. I will give my guys pumpkin if they need it.
Pumpkin is great for cats and dogs.
Yep, my baby deer, they love it. My fawns love it. They love to chew on that. But I'm not turning my little puppy dogs into little yuppies by giving them pumpkin spice.
Okay, well, I buy into the pumpkin spice stuff, okay? I'm going to eat it. I'm eating the donuts and the muffins and the tea and the coffee. And I've got stuff for my... Now, I just want to say that a lot of the pumpkin spice stuff is sweet. And Liz, did you know that cats are not able to taste sweetness?
Really?
They have no taste receptors for sweetness.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they don't. So something that a dog... Dogs can taste sweetness. I wish I didn't. That'd save me a lot of trouble. But anyway, but dogs can taste sweet things, and they like sweet things.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so first up here is bark, pumpkin spice, up your life. It's check it out. Look at it here.
Oh my God.
It's you could open it, look at it. It's a powder. You put it into water.
So gross.
So you know I have Herman. Herman I got from you.
Yes.
Okay. So I put some in some water and ran it by Herman.
Okay, wait, I can smell this. Ew.
Okay. So I put this in water
and
offered it to Herman, the dog I got from you.
Yeah.
Who's now 10, by the way.
Really?
Can you believe it?
Oh, wow.
And he basically, it's only fitting. He came from you. He had the same reaction.
Good. That's my boy.
But I offered it to my other dog, Arrow, who's a mini Aussie. Oh,
they eat anything.
I don't know. He was thinking it was pretty good stuff.
Well, that's a Aussie. They have like no brain. It's just like bing, bing, bing.
Right. So then this is from Trader Joe's.
Oh, jeepers. Okay. I'm looking at it. No, it's
pumpkin
okay. You keep
recipe duckies. They look like little pumpkins.
Oh, that's just fabulous.
They're not quite as spicy, but
that's okay.
We're not done. Then we have,
oh my God, goats. You brought all this stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to show you. It's fun to annoy you. You know what
I know it is.
Okay, goat's milk and cookies, pumpkin and cinnamon.
Oh, geez, you just made me shudder.
Okay, all right. So my dogs like those, but you know what they really like a lot is also from Trader Joe's. Pumpkin, maple, bacon, stuffies, dog treat. And here's a little dog with a pumpkin on. Okay, so this I think got some molasses in it or something.
Disgusting. Holy. Well, my dogs, I don't know if my dogs eat. They eat carrots. Okay, they like carrots.
Okay, smell this one now. Come on. Yes.
Okay. Oh. It smells like my horse's food.
But it has like a sweetness
to it.
It's
got a molasses in
it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So they really like that one. So the Trader Joe's pumpkin maple big. But full disclosure here.
Yeah.
The reason why I have these is because somebody else's dog didn't like them.
Good.
And she gave it to me to see if my dogs liked them.
There you go.
My dogs did like them.
And then, you go for it. You just run with it. Oh, another one? Oh, jeez.
Just to show how crazy you can get. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kala chews, pumpkin spice chips. They're chewy dog chews with pumpkin spice.
Oh, gross. Oh, my God. Oh, God. That looks like jerky. That's so gross.
So if you're like Liz, they'll just creep you out and gross her out. But if you are like me and you think, I think this stuff is fun.
I
don't care if it's September or October or whatever. I'm down with it.
You go for it.
So I got this stuff for my dogs, and most of it they like. The only thing that's a real fail for Herman is the powder.
Yeah,
the bark pumpkin spice up your life.
See, I like Herman. I always have.
He's like, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the heck this thing is.
No.
So you know, like I said, with cats, they're not going to like a lot of pumpkin spice, this and that, because a lot of it is sweet. But the other thing is, I think cats are more sensitive to spices.
Yeah.
You know, so you wouldn't want to be giving, especially nutmeg, but, you know, ginger and all these other
things. And they're also more intelligent than some of the dogs I had. So there you go. They know. It's not fall yet.
It's not intelligence. Personal preference is not the same thing as intelligence. So for
they're
the
snooty.
People,
they're snooty. There you
well,
go.
Well, they're maybe more discriminating.
Yeah.
Okay. So for people who think it's fun to go with a pumpkin spice, you can do it with your dog.
Not necessarily
with your cat, but as you pointed out earlier, I often have just canned pumpkin, not what you have the pie filling.
Right.
And it's good for constipation.
Right.
It's good for diarrhea.
Yep.
And it's good for dogs and cats.
And it's also good for chickens. If you cut your pumpkin up and you let your chickens eat it, it's good for deworming.
Well, we don't all have chickens, Liz.
Well, I'm so sorry.
My chickens.
You lose.
You're talking to me like we all have chickens. I live
and
in
my goats,
suburban Newington, I think.
My goats love it. My chickens love it. My deer love it. Everybody loves it.
Yeah.
Even
I think I've heard that if you have like a pumpkin and you're done with it, that you could throw it in the woods and a lot of animals will eat it.
You bet.
If I have a pumpkin and I put it out on my steps, the squirrels definitely eat it.
They do.
I have a groundhog who I've named Munchie. I don't have him. I don't know why I say that. But he lives under my stairs and he hangs out in my yard. And he likes they like the pumpkins.
There you go.
But maybe they wouldn't like it if it was spiced up. I don't know.
Yeah, this is true. Don't put that nutmeg stuff on it. It's just like, I'm sorry.
Did you know that excessive amounts of nutmeg are a hallucinogen?
Really?
Yes. And see, learning new things on my show. Okay.
Well, I have so many thoughts on that subject.
Anyway, I just wanted to start on a lighthearted note here. So we're going to be moving along.
Okay.
So I'm always curious what animals you have now out at your place.
Jeepers. Well, so we have Trudy, who is a mule. And Trudy is going blind, and we don't know why. We've done all kinds of testing on her. We've seen, done the, the x-rays and stuff like that. We can't find any tumors behind her eyes, but she's going blind.
Huh.
We don't know why. She's young. We've had Lyme is negative. Leptospirosis, which will cause blindness, is negative. We don't know. So Trudy's kind of having an issue right now as far as being scared. I mean, she's going blind. She doesn't know why. And we have Delilah. Delilah's a draft mule. She is also blind, almost completely blind at this point. And Clifford, the big red mule, he's also a draft mule. It's his job to take care of the girls.
And do they all get along?
It depends on the day.
Okay.
You know? And then we have the goats. I have three goats. I have my two turkeys, Lucy and Ethel. They're huge. They follow me around. They're fabulous. And we have ducks and chickens. And I have a pheasant. And this is an interesting thing. So pheasants are not wild animals.
Okay.
Although the state will go buy pheasants from pheasant farms. And they'll release them for hunting.
That seems very stupid to me.
You already have it,
but now we're going to release it and
exactly.
then go hunt it.
So
we're going to
release this domestic animal who has absolutely no idea how to eat in the wild.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to go shoot it. And okay, fine, whatever. It's whatever you're going to do. But so I have a pheasant. She is not a domestic animal. Or I'm sorry, she's not a wild animal. She's a domestic bird. We've had pigeons and doves, and let's see what else. I have all kinds of parrots and different. We have everything.
What about the baby deer? What about your average everyday dogs and cats? What do you have?
Oh, I have. Okay, so I just got. She's almost a year now. She is a Scotch Collie German Shepherd, and she's driving me absolutely out of my tree.
How old is she?
She's 8-9 months old.
Is she your personal dog?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, okay.
She is just, you know, because I've worked with veterans with PTSD, and one of the best dogs that we've had is a Collie Shepherd mix.
Uh-huh.
Because of the Collie's innate ability to be mothering or like, you know, just comforting kind of dogs, and the Shepherd's very intelligent, and the size matches perfectly. So I thought, well, this will be a perfect dog to train for PTSD. Let me tell you something.
Well, you know what it is? Here's the plan list. She first has to give you PTSD.
She did. Yeah,
and then
she
we'll see if she can fix it after
that. The high-pitched bark on this dog will make your ears bleed.
That's so funny.
This is awesome.
Well, I think we should probably go to a break.
Okay, good.
And then we'll be right back.
Orange spice?
Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. The Sweeney's doing 90 because they've got the word to go. They get a gang of villains in a shed up.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. Now, you're listening to Lori Fass on this behavior edition of the show. And I'm here today with Liz Bennett from Bandit's Place Rescue and Wildlife Rehabilitation, and it is actually a call-in show. I was getting a little carried away with freaking you out with a pumpkin. That's so much more fun to show it to you when you're appalled by it. Oh, look at this one, and I have that one. And the more I show you, the more appalled you get.
Oh,
good time. So anyway, but it is a call-in show. So if you wanted to call in with a question or a comment, including about pumpkin spice, whatever you want.
Support me on this one.
It's 860-522-WTIC. And before the break, we were talking about what animals and creatures you have at your house. So you have this one dog who's a shepherd, Scotch Collie,
yep.
Farm Collie mix,
yep,
and
yep.
you got it because you were expecting that mix was going to be a certain way, and
right.
surprise, surprise. But you
See,
know what?
You
that's
go.
Like a perfect example of people picking a breed of dog and thinking that's enough information.
Exactly. So, oh, it's so cute. It'll be perfect.
Or you read what they're supposed to be like.
Yes. And they never are.
And I wouldn't say they never are, but they're not probably. Okay, because Jeepers. You know it isn't what it turned out to be. It's
no.
like ever see those things on this is what you ordered. This is what the picture looks like.
Yes,
and this
yes.
is what you actually get. It's kind of like that, you know.
Yep.
And
or,
sometimes yeah. that happens when people look at animals on the internet.
Oh yeah.
You know,
oh,
look
yeah.
at this cute picture.
That's one picture in like 1,000 where they finally stood still
yeah,
enough
right.
that they could get the picture.
So, but in any case, you need to look a little bit beyond the surface of the situation rather than just look at a breed or a picture or whatever. So, I just wanted to ask you right now, you
are kind of peripherally involved with domestic cat and dog rescue. You used to do a lot more.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you do now with that? Do you do
We still do the dog rescue. More than not, I will, well, we've always had a policy where we'll take back an animal that we've adopted out at some point. And, you know, we still have that policy. We just took back an old English bulldog who was fabulous, but she was adopted out, over 10 years ago. But anyway, so we found her a new home, and that was great. We do postings for people who need to surrender or need to place their animals, but they have issue bringing it into the shelter. So they want to kind of hold on to it until they can get a placement. So we'll do applications, you know, and we'll process them and we'll interview the people and stuff like that. But more than that, we do more farm animal rescue. We've had, I can't tell you how many ducks and geese, because people get them. They either hatch them out in the classroom and then they don't know what to do with it. Or, you know, they raise it up and then all of a sudden they realize how messy ducks are.
Yeah,
that's another thing.
Yeah.
They like to take their,
It looks like we have a call.
Okay, go.
Maybe we should take the call.
Go take the call.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Ooh, okay. So here we go.
Tell me you like pumpkin spice and I'll just hang up.
Hello? Is this Suzanne?
Susan, yes.
Susan. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I have a question on training.
Okay.
I'm looking for a puppy class or a little bit older than puppy, like a year and maybe a half-year-old dog. And I'm finding that some of the classes... I guess I didn't realize there were so many ways to train a dog, and I'm finding that some are, you know, get the choke chain, others don't use a choke chain, some are just always very positive training, some are like negative training, and I just don't know which one to pick.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, honestly, I personally, as a trainer, feel like you need to have some kind of a balance. I don't think that unless you have an extremely cooperative dog, if you're using treats for everything, what usually happens is if your dog thinks either you don't have a treat or they get a better offer, then it's no longer relevant. But so treats in certain instances are very good, good for repetition, good for things your dog has no idea what you're talking about, good for things when your dog is scared. But you need to kind of move beyond that. And so, for instance, I just started a group in West Hartford this morning, and I had a level one and a level two, and one of the participants, I can't even talk here. One of the participants in the level two class had taken a group where everything was just a treat. There was no actual direction. There was no correction of any kind. And, you know, her dog had gotten to a certain point. But the problem was if there was anything better that came along, the commands were no longer relevant. So, you know, I know a lot of people are very, very passionate about do not use any kind of force or correction whatsoever. And I'm very, very passionate about don't use inappropriate force and confusing correction, because that is bad. Okay. Yeah. And when I've seen people complain about bad results with that, it's because it's unfair and unclear, not because it's a correction, but because of the way in which the correction was given. Okay. So, you know, I mean, when you're talking about training, you're really talking about sort of an evolution of understanding. So, you know, if I'm working with a very young puppy, I might be more inclined to use more treats because it helps their attention span and because, you know, they get bored really easily and I can keep them focused for a little bit longer. But I kind of wean things away. So I explain it like, all right, well, if I'm presenting information to a five-year-old who's in kindergarten, I'm going to present different information in a different way than, you know, you're in high school and you're 15 or something. I have different expectations. And so, you know, I mean, I think in reality, you rather to say, well, you're just doing this or you're just doing that. How good is the trainer? You know, because there are good and bad trainers.
in any school of thought, you know, and you kind of have to start somewhere. And you know, to some degree, you want to trust your gut. So, you know, there have been so many trainers, just like an explosion of trainers. I don't even know who they are. I don't even know who I am half the time. But, you know, you have to get a sense of do these people seem to know what they're doing? You know,
can you watch them? Can you go visit the classes and go, I like that method, or I don't like this method? Can you do that to train?
Some trainers let you do that. Okay. Some maybe, don't. Yeah. Some don't. You know, I'm teaching at the community center, and they're real sticklers for not, you know, you got to be signed in, waivered in, whatever. But let me ask you a real quick question, Susan.
Sure.
I have to go to break for, you know, commercials.
Okay.
Do you want to continue talking? I'll put you on hold, or did I answer your question?
No, if you continue, I will listen on the radio. So if you want to let me go, that's fine. But
I
just wanted to know whether to, you know, like...
I'll put you on hold, and we'll get back to you, okay?
All right, thanks. All right,
and if I hang up, you can call me back. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
I gotta get my button thing going on here. What is going on? Okay,
there we go.
All right, we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. You're listening to the Behavior Edition with Lori Fast today, and I invited people to call in, and Susan was brave enough to call in, and brave enough even to stay on hold. You know, there's still some time if you want to call in at 860-522-WTIC. And I'm here today with Liz Bennett as my guest. And you had some good questions we wanted to ask her. So we're going to get her back on here.
Okay.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Okay. Okay. So Liz had some good points.
I got some questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. What kind of dog do you have?
She's a mutt, but she turned out to be 75 pounds, and she's kind of difficult to control.
Okay. How old is she?
She's just about a year and a half.
Okay. What's your end game? What's your end result that you want to achieve? Do you want like agility dog, fly ball, or do you want basic obedience, or just, hey, when I tell you to get off the couch, get off the couch and don't drink the pumpkin spice latte?
<Yeah. laughs> Ultimately, I'd like to not end up flat on my face when a bunny or a squirrel goes by.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So if you were going the all positive route, they would probably give you, they might give you, say, oh, we just use the harness and now you're in trouble. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But they might say, okay, we're going to use a gentle leader, which is a head collar.
Right.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people that use treats will use those. So if the people that use the treats don't use that, then forget it. This is not even going to work at all. Okay.
Okay.
And if you're using somebody that might use some kind of correction collar, there's various different types of correction collars.
Choke chain?
I
wouldn't say that choke chain is bad. It's just hard to use a choke chain correctly, because the idea is if I'm stopping pulling, when it gets tight,
I need to make it loose, snap it quickly a certain way, and then have it be loose again. And the problem with a choke collar is that when you're not doing that exactly right, as it constricts, it stays constricted. Okay. Cool. And so that's misuse of the collar, but using it properly is difficult. Okay.
I will say that I've been through training with Lori, and she's used those collars. And if used properly, holy cow, the difference is absolutely amazing.
But the properly is the trick.
Right, and you need to have somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, and so and part of what collar you might want to use is going to have to do with, I'm going to describe it as physical sensitivity. Okay, different dogs have different sensitivities to different things. So, for example, one of the things we talked about in my group today is, what is your dog's noise sensitivity level? So if your dog is sensitive to a noise and you don't want him on the counter, you can take a can with pennies and shake it and they go, oh, okay, I better get down. And other dogs, you could blow off a cannon and they'd think it was fun
times. That would be my dog.
So that's a physical, that's a sound sensitivity, okay? So if I'm using a leash correction and I have a dog who's physically insensitive, I might want to use a prong collar.
Yeah.
Okay. And that sounds like, oh my God, a prong collar, that's horrible. But if you're using the prong collar, and again, using it correctly, you don't have to use as much force. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, I would say that, you know, if I was, where do you live? What town do you live in?
I live in Cheshire.
Okay. So you want to, you know, find out how open to different, you know, like what type of equipment do you use? Would you use this? Would you consider using that? And if I'm not a big fan of, oh, no, we can't do this and we absolutely can't do that, you know, because to be honest with you, there's so many different variables, not only just in the dog and the dog's personality, but also in people's abilities and, you know, what they can and cannot do. So very often if I'm working with somebody, I need them to use a training tool that if it were my dog, I probably wouldn't do that. Right. But they need that.
But and you're paying these people to train your dog or to train you. I should say train you.
Yeah.
I would say interview the trainers, and if they come up with absolutes, I will never use this, I will never use that, then move on. You need to have somebody who is willing to listen to your issues. You're paying them. So interview these people.
Yeah, you want to ask questions. I mean, people ask me all kinds of questions.
Right.
And if somebody's sincere in wanting information, I don't care what you're asking me. I mean, but ultimately, if somebody were to hire me, they have to have faith in me and trust me.
Right.
So, you know, there's a certain type of questioning that's just rude. So we don't want to go there. But if you really want to know something, if somebody can't answer your question, that's kind of a red flag, too.
Right. Or if they get a little standoffish with you as far as, well, why are you asking me that? Okay, just hang up. Just like go. Just move on.
Yeah,
just
Liz doesn't take it. She doesn't
take
pumpkin
that
spice, and you don't take any of that.
No, I don't take that. If I'm going to pay you, I need to know, and you cannot, you know, react to me like I'm some sort of either moron or be indignant that I've asked you this question.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have faith in the person you're talking to, but the person who's teaching you, there aren't any, if it's sincere and you really want to know, there are no bad questions.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay?
Well,
interview
around. See who you are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Well, good luck with your dog.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Don't worry, the squirrels won't be around forever.
Okay, there we go.
Squirrels and bunnies will be disappearing for the winter. Don't worry.
They'll be hiding out.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, when I originally, we've got like, I can't believe how much time has gone by.
I know.
Hold on a second. Do we need to go to another break? Okay. So we're going to take our final break. And then when we come back, we'll finish up.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. And I don't know if Liz likes that song or not. I know she doesn't like pumpkin spice.
The elephant goes toot.
Well, maybe I just drink too much pumpkin spice. I don't know. I like that song. So anyway, it was funny because when I first invited you to be on the show,
yep.
I said, well, what are we going to talk about? And you wanted to talk about how you should be prepared for various types of disasters.
Yes.
Okay. And we didn't talk about that at all.
Nope. But
now
we
do. Have another 10 minutes or maybe a little bit less than 10 minutes.
Okay.
And we can talk about it.
Okay.
So do you have something specific in mind that you want to share?
Well, okay. So we just dodged a bullet with this Hurricane Lee. And next time we may not be so lucky. So this is, I tell this to people all the time, when you have the forecast that says, hey, you know what, we might be getting a hurricane or a major storm or tornadoes or whatever, or something that's going to make you lose power, need to evacuate your home or whatever, fires, and the steps that you need to take in order to make sure that everybody's safe, okay? Large animals, and I know we've talked about small animals, you know, putting the IDs on their collar, putting your phone number in, you know, permanent marker on their collars, and packing their medications, packing their food, packing water, whatever you need to provide for them. But with your large animals, we have mules. I have big mules, and they're big creatures. Something like taking permanent marker, and I know this is going to sound really funky, or like, you know how you get spray paint to do your hair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so write your phone number on the animal's butt. Some people say, yes, keep their halters on, put your name and phone number or on the halters. Some people say never halter them.
Because they could get caught on something.
Because they could get caught on something.
Do they have, you know how with dogs they have, or cats particularly, they have the quick release collars? Is there such a thing as a quick release halter?
I think they do. Yeah, I think they do. But even better than that,
mm-hmm.
and some people say put them in the barn if you got a big storm coming. Some people say don't put them in the barn. My vet says don't put them in the barn
because
they need to be able to run. Because in panicking,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking horses,
yeah.
They can really hurt themselves if they're in a barn. Plus, if something falls on the barn,
uh-huh.
you know, that kind of thing. They have great intuition. We don't give animals enough credit to know how to get out of their own way.
Mm-hmm.
So what I suggest is that you take either an indelible marker. Don't use spray paint because that's toxic for everybody. But like, you know, the hair color. Mm-hmm. All I could think of was like purple spray hair color. Spray your...
So
you
everybody know. Needs to get a can
exactly.
of purple
hair spray. Exactly, purple
hair spray. And I suppose if you had a big dog, you could even do that on them.
Yeah.
You know, which sounds a little crazy, but...
Well, true,
you know.
But I mean, and specifically with horses, you know, my mule, Trudy, because she's losing her sight, tends to be very spooky. I do not suggest approaching any large animal after a major storm like that. You know, because it's just scary.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of you. They don't know you. They may hurt you. They may hurt you.
Yeah.
Like people that go after moose. They're going to go, oh, my God, let's take a picture of the moose. Let's go approach the moose.
Who goes after moose?
No, people that see them and they want to go and take pictures and stuff.
Okay,
and, oh,
that's a whole other show.
I know. And the bears, and they want to go take pictures, and they get up close, and they don't realize, dude, this is a wild animal. He's going to hurt you. But back to the other guys. But yeah, I mean, you need to think of clever ways ahead of time.
Well, I think, all right, so at my house, right,
yes.
I have two dogs, I have one cat.
Yep.
So I have a carrier for
yep.
the cat.
Yep.
But where is it?
Exactly.
Is it in the basement? Is it in the
exactly.
garage? Is it underneath? I don't really know.
Right.
So if I had to get it quickly,
right.
Even if I saw it, I'd probably have to remove stuff from the top of it.
Right.
So if I know there might be a problem,
yep.
then I could have it immediately.
Right.
Also, if you've got a cat, they have those little, you know, disposable litter box things.
Yep.
But if it's like an emergency, you're probably not going to want to go to the store and get a disposable litter box thing. But
why not? Have one on hand.
Well, if you have it on hand.
Just have it on hand.
But if it's like a storm is coming, oh, excuse me, I'm going to go to the pet store and buy a disposable, you know, like
exactly.
I'm talking about we need to get out of here right,
right
now.
Right, right, right.
You could just use like...
A shoebox, baking pan, lasagna pan.
I'm not coming to your house for dinner. I'll tell you that right now.
I make the best lasagna.
So anyway, what is this stuff in the lasagna?
That's not a sausage, babe.
But I mean, like a dish. soak thing, something you soak dishes in, or
dishpan
or a box. A shoe box is a little small, but if you don't have anything else, but a lot of times, you know, people have little things that, you know, we don't care if it gets dirty, like stuff that I use for cleaning that's big enough for the cat to go in, and then I can put the litter in there, or bring a bag of litter. So you have, because if you're bringing your cat somewhere, you want to be able to have a bathroom break, and if they're accustomed to a litter box, you're not going to be able to take them outside like a dog.
Right. And the whole point of the matter is be prepared. Okay, I have a section in my basement that I know exactly where my crates are. I know where my, you know, this is my, that is my dog food, whatever. It's all there. I know where it is.
If you try to put stuff together at the last minute, it's just not going
to
be okay.
No, you need to at least plan a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
Know where your pet's medications are. Your cat food, your dog food, your litter, your whatevers, and just have it ready. But even more than that, you know, going back to the large animals and stuff, have a plan.
And if you do
play the what if game,
if you have a dog who is accustomed to a crate,
it's
a good idea to bring the crate with you, because if you, go someplace, you might
some shelters,
need to put the dog and keep the dog in the crate.
Exactly.
And a lot of times, I've suggested this before, cats that don't like little carriers, sometimes they're okay with dog
ones.
Crates.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've had, you know, foldable wire dog crates that have bigger doors, and the cat doesn't feel as constrained. You could put a blanket over it.
Take blankets,
and,
too.
And if it's a little bit bigger, you can even put the litter box in there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what's good about the type of crate that I'm describing is it is foldable.
Right.
So if you're storing it somewhere, and you can get them very inexpensively at Ocean Shade Job Lots.
There you go.
Okay, but I have a few of those crates.
Yeah, you can do that. Put your name on the crate, pick a piece of paper, whatever, put it on the crate, write it on the crate, whatever you want to do.
And then a collar on the animal.
A collar on the animals. Also, make a list of places. If you've got, so we're expecting a hurricane, okay? So I'm going to say, okay, the hurricane may make landfall here in Connecticut. I'm going to look at New York. I'm going to look at Massachusetts. I'm going to look at other places that have pet-friendly hotels.
I think
pet-friendly places.
I think that there are websites, and it's
easy
to just Google search pet-friendly.
You can.
Yeah.
But you need to have plan A and plan B.
Yeah.
Plan A is obviously get the heck out of Dodge. Plan B is, okay, the road's blocked. I can't get out. What am I going to do? And that way you have, you know, you
get
know
a big
everything.
Snow plow and just
exactly.
Clear the,
you get a truck.
You live in
places like I do, and you have a truck, and that's all you do. You just drive over stuff.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that's, you know, I was thinking as I was planning this with you, you know, we're talking right now about big disasters,
right?
But there's also maybe smaller disasters.
Yep.
Like a smaller disaster, for example, might be that you get into a small car accident. Okay. And I've heard of many, many instances where dogs get loose when there's car accidents.
Right. And this is where microchipping comes in really, really, really well.
But maybe even better is if the dog had a harness and it was clipped to the seatbelt.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because that would save them from potential injury.
Right.
And then, you know, if you have a mild fender bender, of course the dog's going to be freaked out.
Right.
And then, you know, if they're not restrained in some way and the door opens up, or, you know, you maybe aren't thinking straight at that moment, and then the dog bolts. And that is very common.
Or these people that love to keep their dogs on their lap when they're driving. And then you get into a car accident, you've squished your animal.
Yeah. Actually, somebody knew someone whose dog was killed like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on. That thing is a little missing.
Yeah.
If you have your dog or even your cat and it's loose in your car and you get into an accident, you're restrained by the car seat, by your seatbelt.
Right.
That animal becomes this little missile.
Yeah.
And he's going to go flying. If he's not restrained, he's going to go flying.
And they do have little car seats for little animals.
They do. Yes, they
and
do.
What's good about those is, aside from the fact that you can secure your pet in there, a lot of dogs feel better when they can be up and look out the window.
Yes.
And I know a lot of dogs who have car sick issues, but if they can look out the window, they don't have it as much.
Or if they feel, you know, like a giant hug with, you know, a harness or whatever, they tend to feel more safe versus, having, you know, free flowing
running all over the place.
Exactly. Yeah. They have nothing that hugs them in or whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, just, you know, people, I don't think anybody is ever prepared for some kind of thing that just comes out of nowhere.
Right.
You know?
And also, one last thing quick, because I know it's 2 minutes of, take pictures of your animals, especially your livestock.
Uh-huh.
Because you may know that you have, you know, donkeys, goats, whatever.
Yeah.
But if in a storm your guys take off, the people two streets down are not going to know that you have these animals.
Right.
They're going to find this horse in their driveway and they're going to go, what is this?
Right.
But if you have pictures, A, you can prove it's yours. B, you can post them.
Well, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
They microchip dogs. They microchip cats. Do they microchip horses?
My Trudy Mule is microchipped.
Okay. So that's...
I thought that was pretty wild.
Okay. So
I never, you
is
know?
It on the back of the neck and the shoulder
I
area?
I think so.
Okay, you don't know.
I don't know. Okay. And trust me, she's spooky and I'm not going to go check her.
Well, you'd need the proper equipment.
There
anyway.
You go.
Or you can see if she likes pumpkin spice.
Oh, stop with the... You know what I think of when I think of pumpkin pie? Okay, it's a texture. It's a texture thing. Pumpkin pie is like mushy, kind of like. Bleak.
I like pumpkin pie.
Oh,
you
gross.
Need to stop
I'm
with the
sorry.
Negativity on the pumpkin spice and the pumpkin pie.
We need
we're
to take
coming
a poll.
Close. We're coming close to the end of the show, so we're going to have to leave it that we agree to disagree on the pumpkin spice. But anyway, I really appreciate you coming down to the studio
you.
Today,
Thank
and we'll
you.
Have to have you on again soon. And that's about
hey.
It. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your
reality
podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.